contract of sale, formation of a contract. Under Section 4 of the Sale of Goods Act, sale means to transfer or agree to transfer property in the goods from the seller to the buyer for a price. There may be a sale from one part owner to another. Thus, sale includes both sale and an agreement to sell. Well, my friends, we have to now understand certain important concepts of this definition. Property, it is the transfer of general property in the goods. It includes only movable goods. Price is the consideration for the sale of goods, which is in money. Parties are two, buyer and seller. Form, no particular form is necessary. It could be either oral or in writing. It has all the essential elements of a valid contract. To indicate the definition of a contract of sale, I will now put it in a simplified manner. My first important ingredient is that there are basically two parties in a contract of sale. The definition says it is a contract, it is an agreement enforceable by law, in which the seller transfers or agrees to transfer. That means I have two parties, namely the seller and the buyer. The seller is a person who is in a position to sell immediately or who agrees to sell. At the same time, there is a buyer who buys, that is purchases or agrees to buy sometime in future. They are competent to contract. That is, they are above 18 of sound mind and not disqualified as per the provisions of the Indian Contract Act. There could be a sale by one part owner to another part owner. This is the first essential element. The second essential element says property. The term property means passing of ownership or title. Property doesn't mean goods, my friends here. It means the ownership or document or title which is transferred or conveyed by the seller unto the buyer. So the terminology property here states it is general property. That is, the complete ownership is transferred from the seller unto the buyer, which is the terminology which is called property. It is not a specific interest in property, unlike pledge, wherein, in the event of a pledge, when A is giving a particular security against money, he is giving it only for a specified purpose, which is as a security. He doesn't convey the article unto the buyer, and therefore there is no sale transaction. There is no transfer of ownership from one person to another, that is from the pledger to the pledgee, in the event of a pledge. So pledge is excluded in a contract of sale, because what we contemplate here is a transfer of the title from the seller unto the buyer. Price, it is the money consideration in a contract of sale, wherein any kind of goods against goods, which is barter, is excluded. However, a sale may be partly by way of money and partly by way of goods. So that any exchange partly by money and partly in goods is a valid sale under the Sale of Goods Act. Form, are there any particular formalities to be complied? No, no particular form at all. There is an offer and acceptance. It could be either oral or in writing, wherein price and delivery are terminologies wherein it may be settled between the parties at their convenience. It has all the essential elements of a valid contract, which means it has an offer and acceptance. There is an intention. There is consideration, capacity between the parties, free consent for a lawful object, not expressly declared void, with legal formality, certainty and possibility of performance, which we have seen as the essential elements of a valid contract, are complied even in a contract of sale. We now move into the points of distinction between sale and an agreement to sell. The first aspect says, sale is executed, that which is already completed and the formalities are fulfilled by the seller or the buyer is said to be executed. Executory, it means it is yet to be done, so that when the parties are yet to fulfill their respective obligations under the contract, it is said to be an executory contract in the event of an agreement to sell. Creation of a right. Sale provides or creates a right which is called a jus in rem. Jus means right, rem, world. So this is a right on the goods against the whole world. A jus in personam. This is an interpersonal right because in an agreement to sell, the ownership is not transferred from the seller to the buyer, so that in the event of such a consequence taking place, it is only an interpersonal right between the seller and the buyer. The buyer does not enjoy the right over the goods or the ownership over the goods against the entire world. Passing of property. A very, very vital aspect in the distinction. Passing of ownership or title from the seller unto the buyer. In the event of a sale, property in the goods passes to the buyer along with the risk. Hence, here is a terminology which is very popular in sale of goods. Risk prima facie passes with property. The risk or the loss primarily on the face of it passes with the ownership or title. Seller tells the buyer, once I've conveyed the property or ownership unto you, the risk or the loss is also yours. It is not mine. So that I cease to be the owner of the goods. It belongs to you now. So that in the event of any loss, it is to be borne by you, Mr. Buyer. Risk and property does not pass to the buyer immediately because this passes at a future point of time in the event of an agreement to sell. Remedies in case of a breach of contract. The seller is entitled to sue for the price of the goods and also has a right of lien, stoppage in transit and resale. What does this actually convey? The seller tells the buyer, I have already given the ownership or title unto you. If you do not pay the price, right of lien. Lien means to confiscate, to keep back the goods. I shall be entitled to keep back the goods in the event of non-payment of the price. Supposing you have told me that I'm just going to pay the price immediately and the goods are already sent to the transporter or carrier and it is in motion or in transit. I shall have a right to stop the goods in transit. And finally, if you don't pay, I shall resell the goods at my end. In an agreement to sell, the right is only to sue for damages for non-performance of the contract because ownership has not passed unto the buyer. In sale versus agreement to sell, on point number 5, as regards risk of loss, in case of loss to the goods in sale, the loss will be borne by the buyer. Seller will have to pay for the price of the goods since the ownership of goods has not passed unto the buyer. Insolvency of the buyer, seller must deliver the goods to the receiver or official assignee. In agreement to sell, he may refuse to deliver the goods unless paid for. Insolvency of the seller. In case of an insolvency of the seller, the buyer is entitled to claim the goods from the official assignee or receiver because property or ownership has already passed to him. However, in an agreement to sell, buyer has to prove the amount he has paid to the seller because he can only claim a ratable dividend. Contract of sale. How is it made? Section 5 states, there are very simple formalities. It requires only an offer and an acceptance by both the parties. The delivery may be immediately made. It could be made in installments or it could be made any time in future. Similarly, price, which is the money consideration, may be paid either in full or by installments or sometime as a deferred payment. Goods, which forms the subject matter of the contract, could be existing goods or future goods, and such a contract between the buyer and the seller must possess all the essential elements of a valid contract. Moving down to agreement to sell versus hire purchase agreement. A contract of sale includes both sale and agreement to sell, and therefore regulated by the Sale of Goods Act. Whereas a hire purchase agreement, it is a kind of bailment. What is a bailment? It means to transfer goods or keep the goods by one person unto the other, who is the bailer and the bailee, wherein it is kept for a specified purpose or an objective. So, here is a transaction wherein it's a part bailment as well as an agreement to sell, which is regulated by the Hire Purchase Act. An agreement to sell is a step in the contract of sale. Hire purchase becomes a sale only after the payment is made in full. So that here, as far as an hire purchase is concerned, the buyer is in the capacity of a hirer. He doesn't call himself as a buyer because he has not paid the installments in full. So therefore, he is a hire purchaser, whereas in an agreement to sell, this transaction takes place sometime in future, where the buyer becomes a full-fledged buyer only after the sale contract is completed. Conveyance of goods may take place subsequently, which means the transfer of property takes place sometime in future. Conveyance is immediately transferred while ownership remains with the seller. Buyer can sell or pledge the goods in the event of an agreement to sell. In a hire purchase, buyer cannot exercise any ownership rights. Buyer can take advantage of an implied condition or warranty under the Act. However, in a hire purchase, he cannot so claim. Goods perishing and the effect of a destruction of goods. This is a transaction which takes place only in specific and ascertained goods. It doesn't take place in the event of unascertained goods. Goods perishing before making of a contract. In order that the contract may be void, the following conditions must be complied. The goods must be specified goods. It does not apply to unascertained goods. The goods must have perished or so damaged that they no longer answer to the description in the contract, and this has taken place without the knowledge of the seller before making the contract. If the goods are perished but they answer to the description, the contract is perfectly valid and the buyer has to pay the price. Goods perishing before sale but after an agreement to sell. Specified goods, they must be perished or they have become so badly damaged that they no longer answer to the description in the agreement, so that before the property or the risk passes to the buyer, the goods have already perished or damaged without any fault on the part of the seller or the buyer. To give you a very simple example here, A, the wholesaler or the bailer, tells B, the bailee, kindly keep 10 bags of sugar in your godown. Now, before the transaction is completed, and he may have stipulated a time period, say 10 days, to be kept, there arises heavy rainfall without the knowledge of the seller or the buyer. Now, this bag of sugar has obviously melted, has become watery, so that it ceases to be sugar, so that the goods have perished or so badly damaged, which no longer answers to the description in the contract, and therefore we say such a contract is void because the sugar remains no longer a commodity which can be commercially saleable. Well, friends, I think we have now understood the essentials of a contract of sale, wherein we have stated that the fundamental elements are, there are two parties, wherein the property or ownership is transferred from the seller to the buyer. There is a price or money consideration in terms of money. It requires no particular formalities except an offer acceptance, which may be either oral or in writing. It includes both sale and an agreement to sell, wherein the transfer of property could be either immediately or sometime in future. And finally, it has all the essential elements of a valid contract. Thank you very much.